You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 20 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Mateta Solari will be talking MPC, we'll be talking some ZAR, we'll be talking December effect on the ZAR. Narina Fisser, has Regulation 28 restrictions on that 30% offshore limit been lifted all of a sudden? And then Orbvest CEO Martin Freeman on living local but earning offshore with their medical investments. Yesterday our poll was, we asked you what the MPC would do with the repo rate. 70% of you got it spot on, no change at all. An impressive 7% of you have no debt at all. Kudos to you. MoneyWeb Now is brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Sasol non-execs in fees for vote trade-off. And from Business Day, the Independent Regulatory Board for Auditors makes finding on Deloitte Partners in African Bank Saga. Morning markets, US was green overnight, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ up 0.9%. Asia mixed, red, Sydney is down 0.03%, couple of points there, and Tokyo off 0.6. Commodities, green, gold, 1862, Rand, 1540, and top 40 opening call for a green open, but modestly so, up about 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mateta Solari. He's head FX execution at RMB. Mateta, morning. Appreciate your time. The big story yesterday, which was a non-story, I suspect, because it really was expected, was no interest rate changes from the Monetary Policy Committee. Our governor saying nothing, and if anything, next move will be sort of end of next year, 0.25% in each of the third and fourth quarter. Market kind of saw that coming in many senses.
Morning, Simon. Look, happy Friday. And I suppose, as you say, a non-story, to be honest. I think the committee obviously kept the interest rate unchanged for the second straight meeting, mm-hmm. as expected, confirming obviously that, you know, the 300 basis points cut by July that we saw were it for this year. That leaves obviously interest rates at the record low of 3.5 if you look at repo and obviously prime as well. But, I mean, as you say, they have suggested that the next move could be up in interest rates as the economy continues to recover from the coronavirus lockdowns. I mean, the decision yesterday was quite interesting because it was unanimous. Two of the five MPC members were still holding out for another 25 basis point cut. But as usual, Lesedja, being the hawk that he is, he stressed again that the committee is very much data dependent, and he didn't rule out any move in either direction going forward. So obviously now the Reserve Bank is expecting that GDP will shrink about 8% this year. This is a slight upward revision from the 8.2% contraction that they projected at the last meeting in September. So obviously the change reflects a stronger than expected recovery in the second half of this year. You know, and I think that's also a slight improvement in the forecast that we saw in September when they spoke. But nonetheless, I think the other interesting point was the fact that Lesedja Ganyago obviously putting the ball in government's court, especially leading up into today's ratings review from both Moody's and S&P, saying that monetary policy can't be the only way that you fix the economy. I think we all know, and we have been speaking about the reforms that need to take place. So obviously, I think the annual budget in February will give another signal of whether we can, you know, bring our debt under control. But until that happens, I think fiscal policy can't be the only thing that will boost the economy.
Yeah, a fair point in that. We need more. That the governor can do a lot, but not a heck lot. And as you point out, we've had 300-point cut this year, so you know we can't be unhappy with no change yesterday. Currency in itself a little bit stronger after it. A chart on Twitter yesterday from Johan Bierman pointing out that the ZAR's actually been flat over the last 5 years. Not, you know, it's not a golfing green flat. It's bounced around, but it's at the level it was. But you've been making observation around the December effect for our ZAR. Help me understand what that is.
So, Simon, I think if you think about it, I think if you just cast your mind back to 2017 when we had Ramaphosa, we saw the rand strengthening even last year in December towards the early part of January. We had the US-China trade war, you know, the pact, the phase one deal being reached. So we did see the rand strengthen over those, you know, those two periods. The only other time was, I think, in 2015 where we had Nenegate. That was the outlier with the rand effect. But I think the nice thing is that our research guys have been, you know, studying the rand and the seasonal effect of December. And what we've came up and seen is that the rand has a strong December seasonal effect. It usually appreciates at the end of the month during the peak holiday season. And then obviously we do see, you know, the rand turning around the early parts of January. But what we have gone and done is also look at the data since 1990. And we find that on average, the rand tends to weaken in the early part of December before aggressively rallying from the 20th of December right into the early part of January. And we found that in 83% of the time, so 25 out of 30 years, now we've seen that the dollar rand actually, that between the 20th of December and the 31st of December, we usually gain on average about 1.3%. So as I said, I mean, out of those outliers, 2015 was obviously one of the patterns where we saw the rand weaken in that period. But I think the seasonal effect that can be explained to two factors. Firstly, being that the rand liquidity tightens at the end of the year because obviously the holiday demand for cash is there. And then secondly, the structure of South African companies is that we've got a lot of exporters that tend to be large in nature, quite a lot of mining companies that we know that are exporters. And so they operate throughout the holiday season, whilst our local importers tend to be smaller in size. And so that more likely closes, you know, the implying of a lack of dollar demand. So that's why you see, you know, the rand, we call it the seasonal effect of dollar rand. And we're hoping that, I mean, we carry on into the seasonal effect this year again. I mean, obviously, we do know that there's a few other things that are awaiting us in the last 6 weeks of the year. So hopefully, all those, you know, silver streaks will come to light. And obviously, we see the rand rally even further.
Okay, but a rally from the 20th. I can take that. We'll leave it there. Mateta Tolari, he's head FX execution at RMB. Appreciate the time this morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Nerina Fisser. She's a director at ETFSA. Nerina, morning. Appreciate your time. We want to delve into this, what's happening with our Regulation 28, etc. Before we do, a little bit of background. We had the MTBPS, late October, changing the rules around inward listed. For the novices, what's an inward listed security?
So an inward listed security, let's start with inward listed shares, is really just shares of a non-South African company. So they would be primary listed on another stock exchange, not on the JSE. And when they then come and list on the JSE, they are classified as an inward listed share. We then also have inward listed securities, which goes beyond just the shares in a company. And these could be a range of different financial instruments, including ETFs, of course.
Okay, so British American Tobacco is an obvious one and a nice easy one there. We've now seen there's some fund and wealth managers saying that the changes that were made in that medium-term budget policy statement from Minister Mboweni and what the SARB has been saying effectively means that the limits on our 30% offshore equity holdings in Reg 28 no longer applies. You're saying, hang on a second, there's more to this than just what the good minister had to say.
Absolutely. So let's just think about it. The Reserve Bank regulates macroprudential limits. So this is exchange control that has been relaxed, that's been lifted. Mm-hmm. So yes, in the statement that they issued, the limits on institutional investors have been changed. It's not even a limit that they've changed. What they said is institutional investors who invest in exchange-traded instruments, and this includes ETFs, but also derivatives or even formerly inward-listed bonds, the securities as we spoke about now, none of those would need to be considered as part of their foreign holdings. These would now all be classified as domestic assets, and therefore it would effectively allow institutional investors to hold a much higher proportion of their overall investments in what is effectively a foreign asset. I think where the misunderstanding comes in is that relates to the macroprudential limits that the exchange control sort of tries to regulate with a SARB. On the other hand, you now have the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, who regulates the financial sector conduct laws. Now, an institutional investor, an asset manager effectively, would manage funds for different types of portfolios. The two most common ones would fall under CISCA, the Collective Investment Schemes Control Act, mm-hmm. which regulates unit trusts. Another very common one falls under the Pension Funds Act, all of our retirement funds, pension funds, preservation funds, provident funds, and so on. And that is where Regulation 28 comes in. So yes, although the overall book of the institutional asset manager would now be allowed to invest a higher proportion in foreign assets, still the rules of CISCA and the rules of the Pension Funds Act needs to be taken into consideration. And so in response to this exchange control circular that was issued by the SARB, the FSCA has issued communication to say, we take note of this, we now need to go and apply our minds in terms of how does this affect the current investment limits that we have under these different financial sector conduct laws that regulate financial services providers. Because if you think about it, and a financial services provider, an FSP, effectively also is regulated by the FSCA. And that's why I'm saying this is a bit presumptuous to now suddenly assume that I can now rush off and go and invest 100% of my retirement fund effectively offshore.
Hey, bottom line, it may happen. They may come out and say that. But at this point, they have not. And the status quo remains exactly as is.
Absolutely. And I think, yes, I do think we can expect changes, but I would certainly not expect 100% offshore, not by any stretch of the imagination. It would not be prudent on so many different levels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, allow them the time to do this properly. We don't want them to rush into something. We would want to see that there is a further relaxation of Regulation 28. And there are several other issues also on the table, just to remind listeners again that when we talk about changes to Regulation 28, this is currently all about increasing the maximum allowable investment limits. There is nothing on the table of instituting prescribed minimum investment limits. So when I talk about changes to Regulation 28, this is all going to be about, call it a relaxation, an increase in what we are allowed to do. And certainly one aspect of this would be to increase the effective foreign allowance that we can hold under Reg 28 in our retirement fund.
We'll leave that there. Nirina Fisser, Director, ETFSA. It might happen, but it has not yet been regulated. That's the critical point. Question for you on our Twitters today. Are you moving more money offshore only when the rand is strong, always? Or is it a case of nat local is lacquer for you?
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore. While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Martin Freeman. He is CEO at Orbvest. Martin, I appreciate your time today. We're recording this in the afternoon because of time zones. You're across in the US. Orbvest, sort of live local, earn offshore seems to be the mantra. The particular niche that you're focusing on, investing into medical facilities. Certainly, as I look around investment landscapes, medical is one of the more robust and certainly well sort of supported with a sort of medium to long-term view.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for having me on your show. So really, you know, I am not dissimilar to any of your listeners in South Africa. And my journey began many years ago where I was looking to diversify my own personal wealth and wanting to invest into something that could really deliver real solid returns that I was not really receiving in South Africa. And that's when I met my current partners and our journey began into real estate in the United States, and in particular the healthcare niche, where we have said literally for 6 years, my team has been saying, if and when a recession arrives or a correction, you'll want to be in healthcare because it just delivers such great returns.
It is. And it's, you know, the story is a fairly simple one. We're living a lot longer as a humanity, and technology is not only enabling that, but meaning that there's a lot more that is treatable. And you know, from a health perspective, that's great. From an investment perspective, that's also great.
So you're so right in that. And that's one of the reasons why we focus on the healthcare niche. And I always like to say to people, think about a doctor or dentist. Mm-hmm. How many times do they move in 10 years? And it's not only in South Africa. We raise equity from over 10 countries at the moment. And everywhere we go in the world, it's the same thing. They move either once or never. They're just very stable, profitable, well-known tenants. And so with these kind of people in the building, they are able to generate the returns that we've produced of 8% cash dividends paid out quarterly. And then obviously total returns when we sell the building after 5 years of 11 to 17% in dollars, which is amazing, certainly from my perspective.
And that's a key point. This is a traditional sort of collective investment, be it a unit trust, an exchange traded fund. It would have a collection in it. You know, you go in for, there's the healthcare ETF unit trust. There would be 20, 30, 40, I don't know, maybe even 100 different assets in there. In your case, you're doing pretty much largely single buildings and finite time frame, and at the end of it, I can, you know, take my cash and move into the next investment.
So, you know, when I first got to America, and I'm going back to 2012, and I was looking at various asset classes, and I realized that I was being told I could receive annual dividends of between 8 and 10% in US dollars. Mm-hmm. I was as skeptical as everyone. And really, it's just been proven over the last literally 7-8 years that you absolutely can. People do earn those kind of returns. The difference is with the larger players, there's a number of layers in between. They've got bigger overheads. And what we're able to do is offer people these great assets. And the most important thing is that a person who's investing from $5,000 really is earning the exact same returns as if a person had to invest $5 million. And that's where we level the playing fields for all people, not only in South Africa, around the world.
You mentioned, I mean, these investments are in the U.S. The one that I've been mentioning on the show is the Phoenix, Arizona. Bigger picture, I mean, U.S. has had a year. I mean, the pandemic, obviously that's been global, the election. But in a sense, a pandemic is a weird thing in the medical space because in some degrees it plays into the medical field, but in others, particularly, and I've seen it in local hospitals in South Africa, elective surgeries disappear. How's the business has been during the 8 months of pandemic in the US?
So we were really tested when COVID hit. And the first thing was that there was tremendous support in the US. The US came out with their 2.2 trillion stimulus. So I can speak from actual experience. Every single business and every employee literally in the United States was supported in some way, shape or form. The businesses had 2.5 to 3 months worth of their rent and their salaries paid for by the US, which carried them through the lockdown, which is amazing when you've got a big balance sheet in a country like this. And then in terms of the bulk of our buildings, almost, I would say 90% of the practitioners were open. They were deemed essential services.
Yeah.
As you say, some of the smaller players and elective surgeries were deferred. But bearing in mind, if you need to have a knee op or something done on your hip, you can't simply say, I'm never going to do it. It just meant that for a number of our medical practitioners, they were so busy when they opened up again around about July, August. So we really have had a wonderful experience and be one of the recipients or winners through COVID with collections above 95%.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, if you don't take a holiday or a dinner during lockdown, it doesn't really get kicked down the road. But if I need a new knee, I can delay it, but I'm going to have to do it. As I said, the one that you've got at the moment is Medical 29. You now recently launched number 30. What sort of frequency? How often are you bringing new product to market?
So we've been bringing originally a deal to the platform every quarter. That has accelerated given our equity raise has accelerated around the world to now every 2 months. And going into 2021, we are well poised. We believe that we will do a deal a minimum every 2 months, if not close to every month.
Part of the trick is, and I suppose you and your team are experts at it, it's finding the assets.
So over the period of 6 years, we've spent a lot of time building up our partnerships all over America and the states that we operate. And bearing in mind, America is a very large country.
Yeah.
So we operate only in really 5 primary states, the important ones being Texas, Georgia, New Jersey, and obviously now it is Arizona, followed by Florida. Mm-hmm. And in each of those, we have a partner who has over 10 years experience. They're on the ground. They are guys that are networked into the community. And so it's easy for us to be able to get a strong pipeline of off-market deals. That's the key to this. You want to get off-market deals. We're getting it at the right price with all the right fundamentals in place.
We'll leave that there. That's Orbvest CEO Martin Freeman. Martin, appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider with license number 50483. Remember our poll? It's on the MoneyWeb Twitter as we speak. Question, are you moving more money offshore only when the rand is strong, always, or nah, local is lacquer for me? That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Kudora, the social media team working in the background, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.